We will hear from a wide variety of guests over the next 2 hours, analysts and state lawmakers, advocates for education, transportation, and social welfare. And we hope you will join in as well as we discuss the proposed state budget unveiled late yesterday by Governor Scott Walker. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, February 9th. Governor Walker released his two-year, $76 billion state budget plan that laid out the blueprint for his likely reelection campaign. Governor Walker promised a lot: tax cuts, a tuition cut, more money for schools. But as Sean Johnson reports, members of both parties found things that they don't like about the plan.
Walker's budget would mark a change in course for a governor who cut education spending by roughly $800 million in his first year in office and cut the University of Wisconsin in each of his first three budgets. In this plan, he would increase state spending on the university by roughly $140 million and increase K-12 spending by nearly $650 million.
Just in case any of you missed that, let me repeat that. We are investing more money into public education than ever before.
Walker also proposed cutting income taxes by roughly $200 million, called for ending the state property tax, and for creating a new sales tax holiday for school supplies. His office projected the tax cuts would total $592 million.
At a time when we have significant new revenues, we need to lower the overall burden on the hardworking people of Wisconsin.
Walker would rely on a variety of factors to pay for the tax cuts and the spending, including moving 250,000 public employees to a self-insurance plan.
Across our state, employers, healthcare systems, schools, institutions of higher education, and others are successfully using self-insurance plans to make healthcare affordable for their employees and to make their dollars go further. We can do the same.
Based on a recent private study, Walker projected the switch would save the state $60 million over 2 years. But that's no guarantee. A competing study found it could cost the state $100 million. The governor's budget would also take advantage of higher-than-expected revenue projections due to a slight uptick in economic growth.
The state of our state is strong, and the state of our budget, well, it's outstanding.
But Walker would spend the excess revenue and spend down the state's current surplus, leaving an ending balance in Wisconsin's general fund of just $83 million. Todd Berry is the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance.
To give you some idea, that's about a day or two of state spending. It's less than 0.5% of what the state spends. So it's a small balance, one of the smallest percentage-wise that we've seen in quite a while.
Walker's budget would also leave a structural deficit headed into the 2019 budget. Democrats blasted Walker's education proposals as too little, too late. Stevens Point Assembly Democrat Katrina Shanklin said they were nowhere near enough to undo the damage of Walker's previous cuts to education.
What Governor Walker is offering today in his budget is essentially an admission that his cuts to our most precious institutions have failed the people of Wisconsin.
But some of the governor's sharpest criticism yesterday came from Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who was sitting directly behind Walker during the budget address. At one point, Voss shook his head and rolled his eyes at Walker. He said after the governor's speech that Walker would not get everything he wanted.
Well, just because he's the governor doesn't mean that we just salute.
Voss has pushed relentlessly for a long-term fix to the state's transportation system. Earlier yesterday, he took Walker to task for increasing local road aid, but delaying state road projects.
So it's not a serious proposition, but he is attempting to make it serious.
Voss praised other pieces of Walker's budget, but his criticism served as a reminder. Even with historically large Republican majorities and a re-election bid potentially just around the corner, Walker may have his hands full getting this budget through the legislature. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, there we go. What is your reaction to Governor Walker's budget plan? What do you like or dislike about what you heard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I am Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Our first guest this hour is Jonah Ralston, and Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He coordinates the university's Public Policy and Administration Program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. So what was your overall reaction to the governor's budget proposal?
Well, I think there were two pretty interesting things in this budget. One is that it's not like many of his past budgets, right? And I say that because instead of talking about cuts to public programs, and we're actually talking about, you know, reinvesting and talking about putting more money in. And there weren't as many controversial policy changes like we've kind of come to expect from Governor Walker. And, you know, there was no Act 10. There was no spinning off of the university system into a private entity, nothing like that. And, you know, the tax cuts in this budget were actually tilted to lower-income people, whereas most of the previous tax cuts have been tilted towards wealthier taxpayers. And the second thing I thought that was pretty interesting about this particular budget was that it's going to set up some pretty fierce battles within his own party with the, and I'm speaking, of course, with the legislature. And clearly that he knew that that was going to happen because Robin Voss, for example, has been speaking about needing a long-term solution and potentially more funding for transportation in Wisconsin for some time now. And the governor prepared this budget knowing full well that Robin Voss would be in opposition to this kind of borrowing and delaying of projects that was proposed in the budget. And also the, you know, other things like the amount of money spent for K through 12 schools and the 5% tuition cut to UW system, the self-insurance model, which, you know, the Republicans in the legislature had, you know, passed this bill that he previously signed for the legislative oversight of going to a self-insurance model. So I think we see the groundwork being laid for some pretty interesting battles to be played out over the budget.
Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, when I heard Sean Johnson's line there, that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was seen visibly rolling his eyes at one point during the budget address. So he's not entirely pleased with this, is he?
That's correct. Yeah. It's pretty strong language from Voss, right? You know, we don't just salute the governor. And yes, I wasn't even aware of that until this morning when I heard, right, that it rolled his eyes. And so, yeah, I think that shows his level of discomfort with the proposal that was put forward by Walker, particularly related to transportation. We have to remember he had circulated in the assembly, you know, No Easy Options, this document that was, you know, about 28 pages, and it went through all of the different issues facing Wisconsin transportation funding and the road situation, which, as we know, is, you know, we're ranked about 47th in the nation for the quality of our roads and infrastructure. So it is certainly a public problem that, you know, people in the legislature have recognized. And I just don't think they believe that Walker's first proposal will actually solve the problem.
I always forget. I should mention, and our guest is also an employee of the University of Wisconsin. Whenever we discuss budget issues, we make sure that in the spirit of full disclosure, that is known, because the UW budget will come up from time to time, I'm sure, this morning. But before that, Governor Walker said the state of the budget is outstanding because of the various reforms that he made during his first 6 years in office, and he calls the results the reform dividend. What do you make of that comment? Is that what we are seeing here? Is that why we have extra money to reinvest?
You know, it's interesting, right, to think of it as a reform dividend, because a lot of this came at the expense of previous cuts. So it's difficult how to assess that it's actually a dividend, because we know from 2010 to 2011, Governor Walker's education cuts were the largest in the nation, of any state in the nation, and that's, you know, that's been fact-checked. So it's hard to say that when he's reinvesting an extremely large amount back into K-12 education, you know, it's coming on the heels of cuts well over $1 billion. And so I'm not sure if you can really interpret that as a dividend.
Yeah. We have, You know what? I'm gonna take our break now because we have news coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. But then we have a lot more time to talk about the proposed state budget as unveiled late yesterday by Governor Scott Walker. So what do you think of this plan? What do you think about the fights we hear that might ensue as the state legislature takes this up? Is there something in particular that strikes you about this this proposed budget? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Jonah Ralston, an assistant professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. Coming up after the break, we are going to be welcoming in Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, Lena Taylor, for her reaction to the state budget. And we'll welcome your reaction, too, after this news. We are also getting analysis and reaction to the proposed state budget this hour and next hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will stay with our political analyst, Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater, for the whole hour. And throughout the hour, we will also bring in some state lawmakers to get reaction to the governor's proposed state budget. Our first guest lawmaker is Lena Taylor. She is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee, the ranking Senate Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will begin making changes to and voting on parts of Governor Walker's budget in the coming days. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. So I see here that you believe that Governor Walker has proposed an irresponsible budget. Why do you say that?
Well, a couple of reasons. I think the governor has proposed something that, you know, seems like a lot of shiny things are in it, the kinds of things that make good for messaging during the campaign. But knowing that the ends won't meet, knowing that the amount of dollars that he's saying he's going to do in K-12, UW system, the cuts for taxes that he spoke to, the ends can't meet. And this is really the type of budgeting that he's done as long as I've known him. When he was the county executive in Milwaukee back in 2002, he did the same thing. He'd do a budget that wasn't realistic, and as a result of that, the board would have to govern. That's what's going to happen now. The legislature will have to govern and reel in this budget to make it real.
Yeah. You said that the budget is based, or the proposal is based, on fake math. He was, you know, saying some specific things like the $60 million in savings that he predicts we will get from this self-insurance model will be reinvested into education. You don't think that that can work?
You said it exactly right, that he thinks. I find it difficult to believe that we're going to have $60 million in savings. And then the real truth of the matter is you have individuals who will be paying those hidden costs. And that is the part that I think taxpayers in Wisconsinites need to be concerned about. Are there going to be higher copays? Does it mean there will be less access? Those are real issues. So the $60 million in savings is no different than they think that they're going to have $19 million, I think it was, of savings by changing the kinds of services that people with disabilities get. They need those services. We need to actually not be cutting back on what we're going to do. So, again, I don't know that his savings are real.
Yeah. You also accused Governor Walker of being so focused on campaigning that he produces irresponsible budgets and leaves the real work for others. If, as some have said, Walker is essentially kicking off his reelection campaign with this budget, why does that necessarily mean the spending plan is irresponsible?
Well, I believe, Joy, it is. If you know that what you're proposing is not real, if you know that the legislature will have to reel in and make sure the services are provided, especially to those that are most frail, our seniors and people with disabilities, that is irresponsible. The buck should stop with the governor, not with the legislature. I mean, that's just what's real. And he should propose budgets that are based on realistic possibilities, not based on unrealistic possibilities. And so I think that we'll be able to see the kinds of things that I'm saying, but I think if we were to look closely, the truth of the matter is this is the same type of problem that existed when the governor was the county executive. He would budget, and those budgets would not be realistic, and the board would have to do things in order to make sure that services could be provided to the seniors and those that are most frail.
Yeah, you said in your statement also that you look forward to working with fellow Democrats on finding solutions to juvenile corrections and other issues. What would you like to see when it comes to those issues?
I would have liked the governor not to be silent in his budget. I would have liked the governor to be clear in his budget that it matters that we were raided, that it matters that young people have allegations of being raped and being harmed. I would hope that he would have stood and said something about trauma and trauma-informed care being not only done, but literally woven in everything that's happening with DOC. I would have liked for him to say that the GROW Academy would be expanded, since it is a trauma-informed based approach that we do in Wisconsin that helps with entrepreneurialism, self-sufficiency, and agriculture and industry development. So I am, by all means, expecting that we do something related to Lincoln Hills. Our children can't wait. And those, many of those children, the majority of them, are from the Milwaukee area, and they're my constituents' children. And it is really disheartening that the governor has acted as if he did not hear my request for special session before, or my request for a special session, and that he is not embracing that trauma is happening and needs to be stopped right away.
Was there anything else that stood out to you that either was addressed or was not when it comes to the state budget?
Yes, ma'am. Two other things. Corrections, adult corrections also. We have some of the some high numbers in overpopulation, 125% overpopulation in our prisons. There is no question that we need to deal with community corrections, as we were told in 2009 with Justice Reinvestment. And candidly, we've not addressed those things. And so the governor, I don't believe, should be silent when he knows and others that the budget for the UW system is smaller than the budget for DOC. And so that is a problem. We have to stop the pipeline to prison. And when we're not doing the funding for education and the supports for education the way that we need, that's a problem. And even though he says, Joy, that he's going to put money in the UW system and money in the public school system, we have to remember that he did huge cuts, the largest cuts in the state's history that he did. And so although he's putting some money back, if I took $250 from you and I gave you $50 back or $100 back, you're supposed to be happy? You're still short. And that is the reality of what the governor has done to public education. As a matter of fact, UW system, UW-Madison, its ranking has gone down because of the leadership under Governor Walker.
Let me get you to react to Betty on Facebook says he is giving some of the money back to education that he took away years ago, and he acts like he is supporting education. It is common bait and switch. He keeps cutting taxes, but no plans for infrastructure. Jobs? What jobs? He is in Wisconsin short term, and other than selling our environment, cutting public education, and defeating unions, I see nothing positive in this budget. Do you see anything positive in this budget, Senator Taylor?
Very candidly, Joy, I think that Betty hit it out of the park. Go, Betty. That's exactly the truth. And this is really anything that the governor is doing, especially now, all of a sudden he wants to fund public education. You know, don't get me wrong. Funding public education is great if it's real, but it's kind of funny that he's Johnny come lately to funding public education, because we've been asking for that to happen during his entire tenure. But now, when his numbers are extremely low, now all of a sudden he wants to give record number dollars to public education with money that's fake monopoly money, because I don't exactly know where he's going to get all of that from. So I'm going to be very candid. I think Betty is right. If you've not been there all this time, I have to look sideways at you if you're there now. I'm not suggesting that being there is not a bad thing, but I don't think it's real yet. So let me see if it's real.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Lena Taylor is a Democratic state senator from Milwaukee, the ranking Senate Democrat on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which will soon begin making changes to and voting on parts of Governor Walker's budget in the coming days and weeks. All right, so we are getting reaction to Governor Walker's state budget. He unveiled this $76 billion state spending plan to cover the next 2 years of state government spending. What questions do you have about it? What reactions do you have to what you have heard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will also hear a little bit later in the hour from another state lawmaker. We will be welcoming in Republican State Representative Dale Coinga coming up after the news in about 10 minutes or so. Staying with us is Jonah Ralston, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He coordinates the university's Public Policy and Administration Program, and we appreciate you standing by as we get other reaction, Professor Ralston. So just curious, State Senator Lena Taylor, ranking Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, says what she sees is an irresponsible budget with fake math. She doesn't see how the ends are going to meet here. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think that she has some of the information to back that up, in the sense that we have had previous budgets where Republicans had proposed, or at least Governor Walker had proposed, a certain amount of spending based on budget projections. And we know that those budget projections are just that, right? They're budget projections. They're not necessarily the actual numbers yet. And so they've had to scale back in some instances, and come back with even greater cuts later on down the road as a result of providing, tax cuts and basing spending on a dollar amount that actually didn't materialize. And so there is some concern there, and this isn't just a concern that's shared by Democrats. You've heard some Republicans in the legislature also talking about the fact that these are estimates and they're projections, and so to cut it so close with the budget is a concern for them as well.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Jim in Eau Claire. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call.
Jim, if you're on some sort of speaker phone, we can hardly hear you. Can you talk directly into your phone?
Yeah, I'm driving too, so that.
Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say was, it's interesting to me that now all of a sudden the Republicans get some backbone and they're going to stand up to Walker. I remember Act 10 and 2010-11 when Walker was going to come in and save us all. This guy does not know what he's doing. I just have to quote one senator, former senator, that said, and it stuck with me, is Walker is in it for Walker. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, Jim, maybe you can, as a political scientist, Professor Ralston, help us understand why, for the most part, most Republicans in the legislature were behind some fairly controversial changes that the governor put in place, like Act 10 and others. And State Senator Dale Schultz being maybe the lone Republican who was voicing concerns over some items. That now we have much more vocal opposition from Republicans on this budget, which is essentially restoring some of the money to a lot of these areas.
What I think is interesting about this budget is that it could have just as easily have come from a Democratic governor.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of Republicans in the legislature are actually upset about now, right? Some of those past things you mentioned, though they were controversial, they certainly aligned with the ideological goals of many of the Republicans in the legislature. Whereas some of the goals reflected in this budget, such as investing large amounts into education, or the things that it didn't do that Republicans wanted, like infrastructure funding, these are things that are often seen as more Democratic issues. And so I think that's why you're seeing this difference of opinion and they're becoming a little more vocal in their opposition. I imagine that if you know, his numbers for polling, you know, I think the last poll suggested he was around, you know, in the low 40s for approval. And so maybe there's also an incentive for them to distance themselves a little bit since he's not as popular, right? You certainly are more than happy to wedge yourself to a successful governor because it, you know, will reflect well in your reelection. But if he's not doing as well, it could actually serve you to distance yourself a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did notice it was an Associated Press article that was in the Chicago Tribune this morning, and the headline was Governor Walker Proposes Liberal Budget, which is not something you don't
usually... Certainly aren't used to hearing those words from Governor Walker's budget, right?
So you think the governor proposed this to maybe boost his poll numbers? I mean, his base isn't going to necessarily like this, right?
Yeah, you know, and I think that would certainly be, you know, a little bit more cynical interpretation of, you know, some of this. And I think that it's not without warrant, though, right? That he has chosen to do this at a time when his approval rating is low, so he's not coming from a position of strength. And he is certainly working towards including items that he knows will be very popular. For example, those cuts to education that were in the last budget, Marquette University polling found, I think it was around like 78% of people opposed the education cuts to mm-hmm. K-12, 70% opposed the cuts to the university system. And so it's very unpopular. And he obviously, if he's interested in a third term, has to, you know, recognize that. And this mm-hmm. is probably his way of trying to boost his poll numbers.
Yeah, and obviously there's a public opinion is in favor of funding schools and the UW system, apparently. Melissa emailed, I heard the K-12 funding is coming at the expense of changes to state worker insurance. Does your guest know anything about this? Well, that is that self-insurance model. We have just a couple of minutes before our news break. What can you tell us about this self-insurance proposal?
Sure. There are about, you know, 18 major healthcare organizations in the state. And right now the model is that the state contracts with those insurance companies to then provide healthcare services for its employees. So we're talking about maybe, you know, a quarter million people that will be affected, state employees, by this change. And what will happen is the state will actually take on the risk. And so they'll serve the role that the insurance company previously would have. Now, they are planning to contract with companies still for processing claims and things like that. But the difference here, of course, is now the risk is with the state. Now, that does mean that there's potential benefit if, you know, they can control some of the administrative costs and other things like that. But it does also present a risk in the sense that taking on all of that risk is potentially going to be a liability if the claims are higher than they expect. And so it could actually cost the state more. It's unsure as to which direction that will go. And I think that's where some of the concern is coming from the legislature regarding this. And also the effects it'll have on the health insurance market in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Other states do this. I mean, this is not something that's unheard of. I mean, Minnesota, for example, has a self-insurance model for its state employees, and it does seem to work fairly well there. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about what's in this state budget proposal and what's not, and we'll welcome your questions and reactions, and we'll welcome in a Republican state representative for his reaction after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are examining Governor Walker's proposed state budget during this hour as well. All hour long, we have been talking with a political scientist from UW-Whitewater, Jonah Ralston, and we have been welcoming in invited lawmakers to get their reactions. We heard already from Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor. Now we will hear from Dale Coinga, a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He is co-vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, which takes up and will be making changes to and voting on parts of Governor Walker's budget in the days ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. So before I get you to react to Lena Taylor's reaction, what was your reaction to the governor's budget? What was your takeaway?
Well, I really like the fact of the story of how far we've come since 2011. We came in 2011. We had some financial difficulties. Obviously, it led to Act 10, which was an unfortunate cut to schools, and coupled with tools to save money at the local level. And what we've seen then is that every single budget since then has increased money for schools and it's increased tax cuts. And this budget has a significant increase for schools. In fact, I think the governor said it's the largest increase for schools ever in a budget. And also has significant tax cuts, both on the property tax and to a lesser degree the income taxes. So I like the direction he's going with it. With every budget, we get the budget from the governor, and then what we do is we listen to stakeholders from across the state. I actually look forward to that process. It's interesting, and there's a lot of perspectives out there. And what we do is we take those perspectives, we take those ideas, and we take the budget and we change it. And so that will be the process this time, and I'm looking forward to that. But I do know that the final budget will have two things. It will have more money for education, and it will lower Wisconsin's high tax burden.
So Senator Taylor called Governor Walker's proposed budget irresponsible. She said it was based on fake math, that the budget ends are not going to meet the way he proposed it. Do you see it that way? I know you have a background in math, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a CPA. This is my civilian job. You know, I think, and I'm going to be fair to both parties here. I think that whatever the minority party is in Wisconsin and every state, there's like this little soundbite, and you hit play, and you hit play the minute the budget comes out saying it's bad math, it's irresponsible. The fact is the budget is over 1,500 pages. We received that budget at 3:15 yesterday, and we're going to look in those numbers. That's what I do. Is I roll up my sleeves, I look at the numbers, and then we figure out where the math's good and where the math's a little bit hokey, and we try to fix that. And that's why the budget's introduced in February, and it's not passed till June. It's because we get in those details. And essentially, even citizen legislators like myself or Lena Taylor are not going to decide if it's a bogus math or the assumptions are inaccurate. Ultimately, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, an independent party, for those that don't know, it's kind of like Wisconsin's CBO, Congressional Budget Office. They're a nonpartisan independent body, all with law degrees or masters in public policy, and they come back to us and say these assumptions are accurate or these assumptions are inaccurate, and they adjust based on new information that comes in during that budget. So, no, I didn't see anything that stuck out to me as bad math. You know, some things I was like, let's try to be a little more cautious on that. I'm a little bit hesitant about being too optimistic about economic growth. There's a lot of variables out there. And so I think we need to be responsible and make sure that we are able to ride any waves that come economically going forward. So those are the things we'll consider.
How certain are you that this self-insurance model, the state taking over the insurance for state employees, that's going to save $60 million, which is what the governor says will go into education?
Yeah, I've heard people I trust that are actuaries and accountants and business and insurance people on both sides of the issue, and some say you can save a lot, and others say, hey, those savings are exaggerated. It also sounds that there may be ways to save money under the current model. Wisconsin's a very, very competitive insurance market. I was told the other day that Michigan has one statewide insurance company, one, where Wisconsin has well over a dozen insurance companies. And so we need to look at the whole impact that has on the industry. If that is going to create raises in private sector fees, if the government's no longer part of that insurance pool. And so we need to look at the entire impact that has. Like with any budget, we're kind of boxed in. If the governor's already built in $60 million of savings on that, that means that since we have to balance the balanced budget, if we were going to reject those changes outright, that means we can find $60 million. But it seems that there may be some other reforms we could do if those aren't the ones that make a lot of sense. But, you know, I'm very open to discussions on what makes the most sense to ensure that Our state employees have good health insurance that is also affordable for the taxpayers and for the people that pay it themselves after Act 10, like the employees.
Yeah. And I know there's a big process ahead, but does that mean other reforms that could be made to state workers' health insurance mean, you know, higher deductibles or more payment from state employees? Is that what that means?
Yeah, I mean, and that's no secret. If you look at what the federal government's going to be talking about, if you look at private insurers and actually individuals who pay their own, is we've been looking over the last dozen years, 10 years, of what we could do insurance to change behavior to lower cost. And so that's no different, private sector or public sector. And so those are discussions we'll be having to see if we could save costs. And you saw exactly where the governor puts those cost savings. The governor specifically said those cost savings go into education, and we see that in the budget.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Governor Walker's plan to delay some highway projects in the state's largest metro area where you live?
Yeah, I mean, I think transportation needs a little more leadership. I think the governor's led on a lot of different issues. I really appreciate his leadership on several different issues, but I think transportation's one that we'll definitely have to talk more about. If you look at our roads are could be in better condition, and our roads aren't only about economic. I think that's been it's talked about a lot is economic, recreation a little bit. But I'm a father of four. I live in Brookfield. I do a lot of work in Milwaukee. And what frustrates me is when I'm sitting in traffic and I want to be with my four kids because I know that time is precious and it goes by fast. And so we need to look at all these issues and we need to look at these projects. We need to say what makes sense and what's responsible fiscally and where are we at. And so, you know, I'm not one that we need to applaud that, you know, debt is the same as having roads in horrible condition that also have to be done eventually anyways. And so when you look at those funds, look at cost savings, but also look, is our revenue mix correct between the general fund and the transportation fund, and look at the whole picture and see where we go from there.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, is there anything else that you particularly liked or did not like about the governor's budget proposal?
You know, there's always things I like and dislike. I mean, I in this business, you could be someone who sits on the sidelines and pouts about something, a big bill you don't like, and make a big stink about it. What I tend to do is I say, you know what, this isn't a think tank. This is a state government. And so what we do is as a state and as a party is we come together and we say, okay, these are your priorities, my priorities. And so there's some things in there I'm not a big fan of, but there's other things I am a big fan of. And I think net-net, this budget will be something that's really good for my district, who I represent. It'll be good for the state of Wisconsin. It'll be something I think all Wisconsins can be proud of because all Wisconsins want to see our economy grow. We're seeing that with lower taxes. We want to see it affordable that our seniors stay here. We also want to see a top rate education system, and we're seeing that investment in education.
Yeah. So when does the joint finance hunker down?
You know, essentially, we hunker down immediately. I have my reading material, and we'll be, actually today I told my office, clear my calendar, let's just sit in the office and read and study this thing. But we'll start having public hearings, I think, about March, maybe even late February. That's up to Alberta Darling and John Nygren. But throughout that process, you know, we're meeting with stakeholders across the state. I'll be having my own personal town hall meetings. And then somewhere around April, we start making decisions and making changes to that budget.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dale Coinga is a Republican state representative from Brookfield. He is co-vice chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, reacting to Governor Walker's state budget proposal. And now our concluding minutes, we bring back Jonah Ralston, assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, who coordinates the university's public policy and administration program. And Professor Ralston, there we heard from another a Republican state lawmaker who is not so sure about some aspects of Governor Walker's budget. How drastically do you think the final budget is going to look compared to what Governor Walker unveiled yesterday?
You know, I think there are enough reservations in the Republican Party that we're likely to see some significant changes. I'm kind of reminded of the last budget where Walker proposed something quite ambitious, you know, spinning off the UW system into this more private type of entity. And that really went nowhere. So I'm really thinking that on transportation in particular, we're going to see some big differences of opinion with the governor. We do have to keep in mind, though, that in our state, the governor has one of the strongest line item veto powers of any governor in the nation. And so he can go in line by line and strike things out that he doesn't agree with that the legislator has tried to done, has tried to do. So I think that the Republicans in the legislature are certainly well aware of that, because it would take a supermajority to override a veto from the governor, and that's highly unlikely, you know, to happen. So it'll be interesting to see. So I think the education funding amount also will be something that'll be a sticking point. So there are certainly some issues that are likely to see some conflict between the governor's office and the legislature.
Yeah. We just have a minute to go. Assembly Speaker Voss, Robin Voss, said that he was ready to put off passage of the budget until October if necessary, though he stressed that's not his preference. I'm not sure, I'm just meaning that it might take that long. I'm not sure why October, but in any case, it's supposed to be done and in place by July, isn't that right?
Correct. And if it's not, you know, they'll just continue at the spending level from the previous budget. But that is interesting, because usually that's something you would hear from an opposition party as opposed to members of your own party. So I do think that there is this conflict right now, particularly with Voss's views on the road funding issue. You know, and this is something that businesses see as one of the main reasons why that, you know, they'll relocate. This is one of the main issues that they'll look at more than they will tax incentives and other things like that. And I think Republicans in the legislature know the importance of infrastructure, you know, for economic development. And so I think that they're going to take on that issue, and they're willing to try to stake out a position that's different from the governor, who is okay with using debt financing and delaying projects.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you'll come back sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jonah Ralston, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, making his debut on the Joy Cardine Show this morning. We'll continue with a Wisconsin state budget roundup of reaction coming up in our next hour. This is the Ideas Network.